Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanichananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakap Tarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Evacha. Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. Hare Bol. So, devotees, here we are. We are in the we're in the first chapter of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and we finished yesterday reading verse 17. So let us just make it clear where we are. We're in the second section. We're in the second section of the book, which is called Setting the Scene. But there are two subsections. The first one we read last night. And it's just background, setting the scene, of course, in the sense of how Jaimini spoke to Janmajaya. That was from verse 12 to verse 17. Now we've come to verse 18. And now, so Jaimini is explaining to Janmajaya what happened. And what happened was that Maharaj Parikshit, as we read last night, he was approached by his mother Uttara. She was approached by Uttara. He was approached by Uttara, his mother, who understood, basically she understood everything, in the sense that he's going to pass away in the very, very near future. But he's just heard some most amazing things, and I would like to hear those things from him. So even though she's so sad, her son is going to pass away just like that. But the prospect of hearing this incredible narration, the essence of what Shukadeva Goswami had spoken to Parikshit, the prospect of that made her forget her lamentation, her distress that her son is just going to pass away just right now, practically. And she became attracted. Oh, let me just hear. Let me just hear what was that nectar that you heard. And you know, this is a transcendental person. This is a transcendental person. Oh my gosh. All material concerns disappear when there's the chance to hear about the Lord. Yes. So this is what happened with Uttara. From being very distressed that my son is just about to pass away, to being ecstatic. Tell me the nectar, the essence of what you heard from Shukadeva. So now what we're going to read now, 18 to 23, is what Uttara actually says. The last verse we read, verse 17, said that she came. But now she's come. Now she's going to question Maharaj Parikshit. And on the basis of that, he is going to explain the nectar, the absolute nectar. All right, so first of all, we will read the verses themselves from 18 to 23. Just the translations. So this is verse 18. This is verse 18. Blessed Uttara said, "My dear son, please extract the essence of what Shukadeva has taught you and quickly reveal it to me, as if churning the nectar of immortality from the ocean of milk." So that's her first appeal, her first words. So now, verse 19, Sri Jaimini said, "King Parikshit, feeling affection for his mother, answered her respectfully, eager to enjoy recounting the wonderful narrations he had just heard about Lord Govinda." Yes. So, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? He's about to die. She's disturbed naturally as his mother. But as soon as there's some possibility to hear some nectar about Krishna, her distress vanishes. And he's about to die. And, you know, when you're faced, particularly if you're faced with unavoidable death, it's not nice. But he forgets about it, because he's eager to speak Krishna Katha. It's just amazing, the consciousness of these exalted devotees. Right, so verse 20. Sri Parikshit, known as Vishnu Ratha, said, "Mother, at a time like this, one should observe silence. But your delightful question impels me to speak." So that was verse 20. Now we get verses 21, 22, and 23, which have been put together. "I shall speak by the mercy of my spiritual master, Sriman Badarayani, Shukadev Goswami. First, let me offer respects to our Lord and Master, Sri Achyuta, who granted the gift of life to you and your son. His compassionate grace inspired the best of his pure devotees in the great effort to extract the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. The greatest sages have approved this resulting work, which is full of confidential truth. Please listen with attention as I faithfully repeat it to you." That's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. There's so much nectar here, it's incredible. So, okay. Now, we'll go through verse by verse and give some explanation of each verse. All right, so verse 18. Blessed Uttara said, "My dear son, please extract the essence of what Shukadeva has taught you and quickly reveal it to me, as if churning the nectar of immortality from the ocean of milk. Yes, well, as the verse, as Utra says, what Parikshit has heard is just an ocean of nectar. And she wants to hear the essence of that ocean of nectar. It's called, in English, we call it the quintessence. Quintessence means the essence of the essence. You can't get any more essential than that. So, yeah, it is, this Bhagavatam, it's the ripe fruit, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literatures. But Parikshit, he had 7 days. Uttara understands that her situation, to hear from Parikshit, she understands her situation. She's not going to get 7 days. She's not going to get 7 days. Therefore, there's not enough time. She would have loved to sit down for 7 days, 24 hours, because she's on that level. Exalted, pure, pure devotee. Associate of the Lord. So she, there would have been nothing she would have liked better than to sit for 7 days, 7 nights, and just hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. But she knew that now it's not going to be possible. So please just tell me the essence. As Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence. Well, let me just put it in perspective. The Vedic scriptures are the essence of all religious or spiritual knowledge. Amongst the Vedic literatures, the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Vedic literatures. And in Bhagavad Gita, the middle 6 chapters is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So those chapters then are the essence of the essence of the essence of transcendental knowledge. But particularly verses like at the end of the 9th chapter and beginning of the 10th, they're the essence of the middle 6 chapters. That means they're the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence. And you might think you can't get any more essential. But Srimad Bhagavatam, even though of course it's much bigger, but still, because it is going on from the point of those verses. So in that sense, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of 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 transcendental knowledge. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. But now, Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, anyway, you can say it. But it's really essential, super essential. So, because Utra, she knew, she just didn't have time. So she just wanted to hear the essence. The most important part or parts. And that's all. So, someone, Sanatana Goswami makes the point that someone might suggest that Parikshit, he didn't have to really go into it as much as he did, because he really went into it. This whole book, it's big, actually. So he really went into it. Some may suggest all he really needed to do was tell one pastime of Krishna. That was all. Because she would have been able to understand it. But what about us? What about us? For us, it's different. For us, it would not be appropriate just to hear one pastime of Krishna. Even though for someone like Uttara and all of these great devotees, just to hear one pastime is enough. And they just become totally overwhelmed, engrossed, and they just drown in the ocean of nectar of truth. But for people like us, the loving pastimes, most intimate pastimes of the Lord, our hearts have to become cleansed first, to some degree at least. Yeah, we need to be gradually brought to that point where we can hear some most exalted pastime, and then it will just open our hearts and just we'll also drown in an ocean of nectar. We have to go step by step. Therefore, if people suggest that Parikshit could have just told one pastime of Krishna and that would have been enough, maybe it would have for Uttara, but for us it definitely wouldn't. So it's his kindness upon us. Because one can only properly relish the most intimate loving dealings of the Lord after first submitting one's heart for a very nice cleansing, very thorough cleansing. And therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, before going into those pastimes, He spoke the first nine cantos. They had to gradually bring us step by step to that point where we'll actually be able to appreciate that nectar. Otherwise, straight in at the deep end, it will be too much. Yes. So Sukadeva Goswami spoke the first nine cantos before going into the personal, intimate pastimes of Lord Krishna. And he did that just to prepare Parikshit Maharaj, just to prepare him. He spoke the first nine cantos. For full understanding, before beginning to narrate Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. So here, then, Uttara, she's calm, she's cool, even though she knows my son is going to die just very soon. She's cool, and she's just focused in Krishna consciousness. And therefore she's asking Parikshit, you choose what you should tell me. Because she doesn't know what is there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. She doesn't know. She doesn't know what was there in Srimad Bhagavatam. She doesn't know what was there, what was spoken, what Parikshit heard. So she can't tell him, tell me everything. Not possible, not practical. And she can't tell him that, tell me this or tell me that, tell me some other thing, because she doesn't really know what's there. So she's saying to him, you please use your discrimination, use your best judgment to decide what's really suitable for me. Yes, so an example, Sanatana Goswami gives a nice example. As a farmer takes several cane, pieces of sugar cane, several canes of sugar cane, in order to extract just a cup of sweet juice. So similarly, Uttara is asking her son Parikshit, please carefully consider your understanding, your realization, your knowledge of the entire Bhagavatam, and just take out the best parts. You know, those of you who have been to India, I'm sure you've had sugar cane. And it's just like what we said, is that you take some canes like this, and you get out a cup of juice like that. Yes. And yeah, so it's like that. So, okay. Now let's carry on with verse 19. Sri Jaimini said, King Parikshit, feeling affection for his mother, answered her respectfully, eager to enjoy recounting the wonderful narrations he had just heard about Lord Govinda. Okay, so the thing is that because having heard Srimad Bhagavatam, because of that, Parikshit was just in the highest level of consciousness and in ecstasy with profound understanding, great relish, very amazing, and a great attraction on the transcendental platform. So, therefore, he was quite willing to explain things to his mother, to satisfy her sincere desire. Because, you know, he had just heard it. But having just heard it, he wanted to speak it. Having heard it, you could hardly stop him from speaking it. You know, he was so saturated with Krishna Katha, he just wanted to let it just pour out. That's what he wanted. He wanted to carry on hearing and chanting. But of course, an important consideration is, as the verse says, he was feeling affection for his mother. Affection just in a sort of general transcendental way, but he was also feeling affection in a very Krishna conscious way to try to help her. To try to help her, to give her some of that nectar, which would be very good for her. So like this, in this mood, he was ready to reveal the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. All right, so now let's go on to verse 20. Sri Parikshit, known as Vishnu Ratha, said, Mother, at a time like this, one should observe silence. but your delightful question impels me to speak. Yeah, well, there's no comment here. But it appears, you know, that there's some sort of idea that when you're facing death, you should be silent. Seems like that. But he can't stop himself. He just can't stop himself. He's just too overwhelmed and too excited and too inspired to stop himself. So therefore, he feels he can't avoid speaking. Okay, so now 21 to 23, they're all together. Let me read them again, and then we'll make some comments. I shall speak by the mercy of my spiritual master, Sriman Badarayani Shukadev Goswami. First, let me offer respects to our Lord and Master, Sri Achyuta, Lord Krishna, who granted the gift of life to you and your son, who happens to be. Who happens to be him. Yeah. The gift of life to you and your son. He's referring to, we mentioned one of the, a day or two ago, how Parikshit was within the womb of Uttara, and it was Ashvatthama released a Brahmastra to kill him, Parikshit, without killing Uttara. But, you know, that's a bit of a long story, but the Lord protected him. The Lord came into Uttara's womb and protected Maharaj Parikshit, who was still an embryo within the womb. Very amazing. But the way, so she was protected and he was protected. But it's interesting how he expresses it, that we must offer our respects to Lord Krishna, who granted the gift of life to you and your son, who is him, Parikshit. His compassionate grace inspired the best of his pure devotees in the great effort to extract the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. The greatest sages have approved this resulting work, which is full of confidential truth. Please listen with attention as I faithfully repeat it to you. Now, there's quite a bit there, actually. There's quite a bit. You know, of course, the first thing which we notice very clearly is that he's about to speak the nectar. But the first thing, first step in speaking is to offer respects to the spiritual master. Yes. I can just relate to you one small little, it's a little part of a great pastime of Lord Chaitanya. When he visited Vidyanagar in Navadvip on his way to Vrindavan, at least that's where he wanted to go. So when he came to Vidyanagar, staying in the house of Vidya Vachaspati, the people found out. The people found out. And thousands and tens of thousands or more, just vast, vast numbers, descended on that place. And many of them approached him. and asked for mercy, for blessings. And so that appears particularly in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But one thing that really struck me was that one devotee came to Lord Chaitanya, understanding basically who he is. And now I'm in a position to ask you, the Supreme Lord, for mercy. And what did the devotee say? My dear Lord, please increase my faith in my spiritual master. It's amazing, isn't it? Even forget about asking for something material, give me money or something like that. Forget that. Forget even about, let me go back to Godhead. Forget, help me to chant the holy names without offenses. But what comes into his heart is, please increase my faith in my spiritual master. Because in a sense, that is the essence of how we're going to chant without offenses, of how we're going to get the mercy of the Lord, and how we're going to get everything by the grace of the spiritual master. So it's very nice that Maharaj Parikshit begins, he's now beginning the recitation by offering his respects to his spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami. So, yes, this Srimad Bhagavatam, the thing is, Srimad Bhagavatam and what to speak of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is the essence of the Bhagavatam, this is different from many of the Vedic literatures. So many of the Vedic literatures are involved with Karmakandya. It's actually a majority percentage. It's a major, like at least 75% of the Vedic literatures are Karmakandya. Materialistic religion for getting material results. Some more is Jnanakanda, which is basically impersonal knowledge. What can you say? And then, so then only maybe 10% or something of that sort is about bhakti, pure devotional service. Even Mahabharata is kind of mixed. Yes. Vyasadeva's Mahabharata, we made that point yesterday. Even that's somewhat mixed. But Srimad Bhagavatam particularly, and then Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they are just, it's just nectar, transcendental nectar of pure Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the essence of that pure nectar. So, yeah, so there's just a few rare literatures which are transcendental, like Bhagavatam or this Bhagavatamrita. There's literatures like Gopal Tapani, Upanishad, interesting story, Narada Pancharatra, Garga Samhita, Vishnu Purana, Hari Vamsa, it's an Upa Purana, the Hari Vamsa, and it's got a whole lot about Krishna. the Uttarakhanda, just one section of Padma Purana. And then, of course, the Bhagavatam itself. These are just the relishable cream, the nectar, the essential nectar of the whole Vedic literatures. So therefore, Parikshit refers to Srimad Bhagavatam essentially as the relishable cream of all Vedic scriptures. The relishable cream of all the Vedic scriptures that teach pure bhakti. Phew, Hare Krishna. It's truly amazing. So, he uses the word Srimat in one of the, there's three verses here, let's just have a look. Srimat Bhagavatotama. It's the second of these three verses, means it's, what is it, 22. It's verse 22. Srimat Bhagavatotama. Srimat means it's rich in spiritual value. And it has the potency to give knowledge, renunciation, and bhakti. And to give knowledge and renunciation through bhakti. By the mercy, by the potency of bhakti, knowledge and renunciation can arise. So the distilled essence of all of this is Amrita, which is like a heavenly beverage, but in this case it's a transcendental beverage, which bestows immortality, which bestows love for Krishna, which bestows the association of Krishna. It's so inconceivable. It's just mind-boggling, really. Just like, as was said, by Uttara, in the verse she spoke, the first verse we read, that you please take the essence of the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like when the milk ocean was churned, then the nectar of immortality came out of that. Just a comparison. Just to help us understand that the fact is that the nectar that came out of the milk ocean was material. Very high level material, but still material. This nectar is simply transcendental. So, let's see. So, the thing is that advanced devotees, in fact, Parikshit mentions it basically in the verse that we're going to extract the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. And the greatest of all sages have approved this activity. They have approved this activity and they have approved the resulting work, which is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They have approved that. They have approved the activity and they have approved the result, which is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the essence of the nectar of the Bhagavatam. So therefore, advanced devotees, Sanatana Goswami makes the point, advanced devotees, They want to do nothing other than hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Just, they don't want to hear anything else. Just as Sanatana Goswami says, just as more like beginner devotees, like us, as we get into it a little bit, then we don't want to hear about gyan, impersonal knowledge. We don't want to hear about impersonalism. We don't want to hear about material things. This is one of the first signs of making some advancement, that you lose your interest in those things. So Sanatana Goswami makes the point that sometimes advanced devotees, they like to focus on certain parts of these literatures. Like, as an example, of course, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. But in our cases, we're not on that level, and we shouldn't imitate like that. But rather, we should be careful to go step by step. Because actually it's all nectar. Even in the beginning, it's really nectar. Yes. So we should follow the complete course from chapter canto 1 to canto 12. Yes, so when Parikshit says that this Bhagavatamrita has been approved by the greatest devotees, he's referring to Shukadev, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. He's referring to Narada and other similar devotees of their caliber. Yes. That they all contributed directly and or indirectly to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Sanatana Goswami says, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained by Maharaj Parikshit to his mother, forms the ultimate summary of Vedic knowledge. So now, devotees, that's the end of that section. We're actually going to carry on for another 10 minutes or so. We have some time. We're going to go through the entire third section, which is only two verses, 24 and 25. So this is actually, the title is, the title we've given it, The Sages Assemble at Prayag. Verses 24 and 25. So this is actually where the story means the story of how to find who has got the greatest mercy from the Lord. This is where this story begins. Now, what we've read over the last few days is just bringing us to this point. It's like all introductory. Now begins, you could say, the story proper, the narration proper. So let's read these two verses as we do, 24 and 25. They are together. Once a group of exalted sages were at Prayag, the best of pilgrimage sites, during the month of Magh, which is just around this time. The sages had taken their bath and were happily seated before the deity of Sri Madhava, feeling satisfied, as if all their goals in life had been fulfilled. They were praising one another, saying, "You are the recipient of the Lord's mercy. You are the recipient of Lord Krishna's mercy." They're telling each other, you are the recipient of Lord Krishna's mercy. And the other one was saying, no, you're the recipient. And there's this whole ecstatic mood of appreciation. Appreciation and affection and humility is just, it's incredible. So, okay, that's verses 24 and 25. Let's say a few words. So this is the beginning of the real story. And here we are going to, tomorrow night, meet the first candidate, the very first candidate for possibly being the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy. It's a Brahmin, a very nice Grihastha Brahmin, but we're only going to meet him tomorrow night. Yeah, so the situation is there in Prayag, and the sages are sincerely, very, very sincerely praising each other in a mood of deep humility and just loving appreciation. And, of course, they didn't like to hear that praise. And they would try to divert it back to the person, as we said, who had praised them, or to someone that, no, I'm not. He is whatever of the devotees. It's just, you know, incredible exchanges going on. And it's the best time, Magh. You know, in the month of Magh, they have the Kumbh Mela. And of course, it's every 12 years or whatever at Prayag. But that's when they do it, at that time. It's the best time. In that case, like in the case of Prayag, like in the case of Vrindavan, the best time generally is Kartik. Now, you know, the month of Purushottam is also very nice, but Kartik, it's every year, it's just so wonderful. So Magh is the time for Prayag. It's the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna, and in a subtle form, the Saraswati also. Yes. So, let me just conclude. I want to tell you a little story. Just sit down and relax and listen. Okay? Are you sitting comfortably? Are you feeling peaceful? Relaxed? Are your ears open? Is your heart open? Let me tell you a little story. There was once a gathering of all the holy places. And at that gathering, they had a, what would you call it? Well, they took a vote. Which holy place is the greatest? Or which holy place do you think is the greatest? And so all the holy places voted. And the end of the result of the vote was that Prayag got the most votes. It's voted the greatest holy place. So Prayag's all happy that yes, thank you very much. Feeling a little proud. And then Prayag noticed something. Prayag said, wait a minute, where's Vrindavan? Vrindavan is not here. All of you other holy places, you've accepted me as being the greatest holy place. But why isn't Vrindavan here? I want Vrindavan also to accept me as the greatest holy place. So he got a bit, you know, disturbed in his sort of proud mood. So he said, right, I'm going to go to Lord Krishna. I'm going to take it up with him. So he did. He went to Lord Krishna. And he started complaining to Lord Krishna that, my Lord, you are the Supreme Lord. And you know what is right and what is wrong. And here, I was voted, all the holy places gathered, and I was voted the top holy place. But Vrindavan was not there. Vrindavan did not accept me. This is not good. Vrindavan should not do that. It's not proper. So he's going on like that, kind of, you know, a little forcefully, you could say. And then suddenly in the middle of all this, he noticed that Lord Krishna was crying. And Prayag was shocked. What happened? What's upset you? Did I upset you? What's the matter? And Lord Krishna said, you know, you're speaking so strongly, sort of criticizing Vrindavan, but that's not nice. I don't like it. Do you know why? Krishna asked. The reason is, and the reason Vrindavan was not there, is because Vrindavan is not just a holy place like you. Vrindavan's not just a holy place. Actually, Vrindavan is my home. That's what's special about Vrindavan. It's my home. And home is where the heart is. So my heart is in Vrindavan. It's the place of my heart. And you've been criticizing that. It's not nice. Please don't do it. So Prayag became very apologetic and then understood and accepted that actually I don't compare to Vrindavan at all. So let me worship Vrindavan. And let us worship Vrindavan too. And that's part of what's going to come out in all this narration, is that the devotees are the greatest people, and the place, Vrindavan, the place of the devotees, the place of Krishna, the place of Krishna's heart, is the greatest of all places. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.